are the shelter in our times of storm, that under your wings we can be safe. We love you. We're here to worship you and praise you and give you honor and glory. We thank you for everything that you do for us and all the beauty in the world that we see every day, the flowers now blooming and the trees with their leaves. We thank you so much for all that you provide for us. We thank you for fellowship with each one here. And as we go on after church to the park to fellowship with one another, I pray that our words and our actions will bring honor and glory to you. Father, anoint our pastor now as he brings us your word. Help us each to receive some little something that we weren't aware of, some blessing that we didn't know about, and that we will be blessed, and that being blessed, we can bless others. We thank you for Jesus and what he did for us, and we pray in his name. Amen.
Good morning. All right. Today it's a very special day. Not only are we celebrating Mother's Day tomorrow, which is a very special day, I think, for all of us, because if you're here, you do have a mom to be thankful for. And today we also celebrate our little Eliana's second birthday. I don't know where that time went, but I am extremely, overwhelmingly thankful to God for that gift, and also for the mom that was given to her, who is my better three quarters, not even half, but my better three quarters. So it is good to be here, celebrating and spending this time together. Before we start, I need three volunteers. We need to get something going really, really quickly, and then we'll get started. So three volunteers. You know how I like to go, all right? We'll do, okay, you guys made it too easy. Okay, all three, come on up. All right. I was thinking it has to be a boy and a girl, grown up, young, but how can you deny help? Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I have three pieces of paper here. I'm going to show you or tell you something, and then you have to describe it, okay? But you have to describe it using adjectives. You know what an adjective is? Something that describes something, like big, small, beautiful, ugly, okay? All right, so I'm going to start with, you're going to hear something, okay? Are you ready? It's only 35 seconds, so you need to pay a lot of attention. And I promise you, Mom, I put alcohol on this. It has no bacteria, and that is a doctor. So, dude, if something happens, don't worry. He'll heal you rather quickly. Okay, listen. Meanwhile, this is what I want you to describe. All right. And now you.
We just write down here?
Yes. Now you write here what you just experienced, okay, with adjectives. And you, my friend, come here. I'm going to show you a picture. Okay? I want you to describe that. Sounds good? Take a good look. You have photographic memory? Okay, so this is how you do. You look, you close your eyes, and you take a picture, and now you describe it. And we're missing a third pencil. Oh, my goodness. Oh, here it is. You heard it already? Okay, you guys can stay here as long as you want. If the sermon is over and you haven't finished, that's going to be a problem. But feel free to stay. All right. Thank you, guys. And we'll see what that's all about in a second. It's good to see you guys. Anybody tell you yet that you look beautiful this morning? No? Then allow me. You guys look absolutely beautiful this morning. I was told that there was going to be a picnic here today, so I came ready for the picnic. And you guys are cruel and mean, and I don't know, I'm having second thoughts about you guys, because my first Saturday at RGF, I sat next to a 120-pound dog because it was picnic day. And I think you guys were just trying to set me up for culture shock or something, because that's not what I was used to about going to church. And today is picnic day, and there's not a single dog. And I came prepared. I took the time to go to T-Mobile to get a free bow tie collar because I was going to give it to the best looking dog in here, and you guys didn't bring a single dog. So can never get it right at RGF. I don't know what it is. But Tom, when I went to get this, I was thinking of you. So here you go. I want to see a picture then on the Facebook page of a massive, beautiful looking dog wearing that bow tie looking good. All right, you guys ready? Yes? All right, take your time. You need to do good. If you don't do good, there's going to be a big problem. Did you guys ever expect something good and got something disappointed? And got disappointed instead? Tomorrow, it's going to be Mother's Day. And we're going to write a lot of cards and send a lot of text messages. And there's going to be a lot of people saying, you are the best mom in the world. That's kind of tricky, right? If she's the best one in the world, then what's mine's? And now I'm a married man, so that's even trickier for me, because if I tell my mom you're the best mom in the world, why do I tell Cindy? So it starts getting all sorts of complicated. But let's bring it down a level. Let's bring it down a level. Let's make it even easier for us. How can you prove that something is good? Let's think about something that is universally accepted as good. Let's think about chocolate. Larry, do you like chocolate? A little. Let me move away then. Somebody who likes chocolate a lot. It's him, but I give him a chance. Alexine, you like chocolate a lot. Yes. Can you prove it? Why not? You'll eat it, and that's the proof. But what if you're like inside like gagging, but you're just trying to smile, because I've done that before, because pastors have to taste all sorts of food, even those that you're not prepared to taste, and he's like, it's very good. Pastor, do you want some more? Oh, my goodness, please. It's terrible. Yeah. But how can you prove it? Can you prove that it's even good? When you get into these things, it becomes a little tricky, and it's even worse when you're expecting something good, and then it disappoints you. Let me tell you a little story. I had just moved to the U.S. It was Thanksgiving, and the church where I was attending at the time, my dad's church, they were offering a breakfast for Thanksgiving. And in front of the table, there was this beautiful cup with this beautiful drink, and I looked at it, and I said, well, this looks rather good. What do you think it could be? Pumpkin, you guys are thinking like, okay, I was thinking more like hot chocolate, or I was thinking more like eggnog. No, not at that church. Maybe a cappuccino. Last week I talked about my weed problem and the sermon wasn't recorded, so I'm behaving today. I'm on my best behavior. And if you're curious about that, ask somebody else, because I don't want to go down that route again. But I thought in my mind, this looks like, you know, maybe a very light cappuccino, or maybe it's like in the country where I was raised, they had this thing called a submarine, where you have a little bit of milk and you silk like a chocolate bar on it, and it melts, and it becomes kind of like a submarine, and it's this really delicious chocolate. You guys are having too much fun, okay? It was supposed to be like 30 seconds, but okay, no problem. Better here than there. When you finish, just go back, sit down. And so I thought maybe it's this chocolate that I'm used to, and it's gonna be really, really good. So I started drinking it. And right away, right at the beginning, it started going bad because it didn't taste like a cappuccino. It didn't taste like chocolate. It didn't taste like anything I was prepared. It was kind of bitter. It was kind of interesting. But as I was drinking it, I wear glasses, so very blurry towards the bottom. I see that there's something very dark in the bottom. And I said, yes, that's where the chocolate is. So I said, I'm going to take it with a stride. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to chug it all down, and I'm going to wait until that sweet, chocolatey ending that I'm expecting. So I go. And all of a sudden, right there in that room, the Fontana di Paoli was inaugurated. Because as I was drinking that, it seemed like somebody had gotten a pound of sand and had shoved it down my throat, and all of a sudden, as I was choking, there was this brownish liquid coming out of my ears, out of my nostrils, and out of my tears, because it turns out that what I was drinking, I was expecting it to be something like a cappuccino or chocolate, but it was actually horchata caliente. And if you have a friend from Central America, you might know what that is. But it is this very interesting, kind of spicy drink. And in the bottom of this drink, they have the seeds of the actual fruit that makes the tea. And the seeds are extremely coarse. They're extremely hard. They're extremely bitter. And they taste and they feel like sand. So right there in front of everybody, I started like spitting out and making a huge embarrassment of myself, because it's really bad when you're expecting something good and you're getting something completely different than what you were expecting. And that's my horchata story. But this experience is very similar to what the disciples were experiencing in the chapters. Hey, guys. Oh, whew, good. I thought they had taken them. I'm missing a third one. Did you guys leave all three of them? Okay, good. Good, 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 good. All right. This is kind of the problem that Jesus was having in the passage that we have been studying over the last month. It's Matthew chapter 13. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, but things are going a little different than they were expecting. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we pray that you will bless this time together. Thank you for all the beauty that is around us. It's a marvelous day. The sun is shining. We can feel its warmth. It's heat, actually, and we're just so privileged to be in this place in great company with people who we love. But most importantly, we want to be in good company because we want to meet with you. So as we spend this time together, may you bless us with your Holy Spirit. May you guide our thoughts, and may we leave this place walking a little closer to you and seeing you just a little bit more clearly. All the things that we bring here, our pains, our sorrow, our troubles, our anxieties, our joys, our happiness, may it all be laid at your feet. And may we experience your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Since early on in his ministry, Jesus had been talking about this thing called the kingdom of heaven. And during all these conversations, Jesus had started scratching somewhere where it really itched. Because he started talking that this kingdom of heaven was going to be for the poor in spirit and the meek and the humble and all these people who had experienced all this pain and suffering and violence and injustice. Jesus was talking to them and he was telling them, there's something that I'm doing, something new, something beautiful, something great, and it is just for you. And Jesus had been speaking and he had been scratching where it was itching, but there was a problem because the itching wasn't going away. And as time passed, Jesus kept talking about this and things were not getting better. Because at the core, we all have these fundamental questions. Why are these things happening? Why do we experience this? Why do we see the things that we see and experience the things that we experience? Why are we here in the first place? Why do we exist? And it seemed that Jesus was going to have an answer to this question. However, the more he talked about this kingdom, the more elusive it became. Because as the crowds were gathered, people surrounded Jesus because they wanted to hear more, because he had built this expectation. And now Jesus begins to talk to them with cute little stories. And we've did several over the last several weeks. He said, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a seed. Yay, seeds. Wait, what? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden. Oh, yes, Jesus, we like treasure, but what about this issue? Well, the kingdom of heaven is also like a mustard seed. And the kingdom of heaven, it's like yeast. And all of a sudden, people were left with less answers than what they had expected. And towards the end of that passage in the Bible, Matthew writes, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. And he did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was said, spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Why did Jesus speak in parables when he was talking about the kingdom of God? What do you think? What do you think? Why not just do some teachings? You know, you have the golden rule. You have the greatest commandment. Why did Jesus use parables? I think one of the reasons why Jesus used parables is the fact that there are things that words simply cannot describe. Because the kingdom of heaven is a reality to be experienced. The kingdom of heaven goes beyond a teaching. The kingdom of heaven is beyond something that you do. The kingdom of heaven is beyond an understanding. The kingdom of heaven, it's a reality to be experienced. And sometimes words cannot communicate realities and experiences. So, guess what I'm talking about? It says, it sounds like a song. That's a good start, right? It sounds like a song. Know it. It sounds high tempo. Okay? Can we add anything to it? High tempo. Maybe you could run to it, right? So it sounds like a song. It's kind of high and it has a high tempo. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. How come? You did a very good job of describing it. So now, maybe I'll show you. Now, can you experience it? What am I talking about? I'm glad Loretta's here because Loretta might read that already and figure out what it does, but good thing Loretta's not here. All right? But what about if now we experience it together? Jared? Before you heard it. Because you haven't experienced it. And sometimes words simply cannot express a reality to be experienced. What about this one? This is good. A little scary. What am I talking about? Dude, were you supposed to do mom? No, okay, good. All right. A little scary. Do you know what we're talking about? Does this bring an image or an experience to your mind? Well, it was this picture. We need to tell Leonardo da Vinci that the Mona Lisa looks a little scary. Maybe he can make her a little happier. Good job. All right. But sometimes words cannot communicate experiences. And here's the thing, you're looking at it now, but if some of you might have had the chance to go to the Museum Louvre and had seen it in person, you would probably tell me, oh, but you don't know what it is like to experience it in person. Because sometimes words simply cannot express a reality. Ooh, I like this one. Knows everything. Except that nose is spelled like nose, N-O-S-E. This is awesome. Knows everything. Either a very big nose or just a typo, okay? Long hair. Likes to be clean. Very nice. Loves. I'm going to need help with this one. Who wrote this? Coffee? Oh, okay, loves coffee. I'll let you check it out how it's spelled later, so you think I'm not so crazy. What is this talking about? Mom knows everything. There are some things. Long hair likes to be clean. Congratulations there. It would have been a lot more troubling if it was likes to be dirty. Very nice. Loves coffee. There are things that sometimes words simply cannot explain because words are not able to put realities and experiences into symbols. So Jesus used parables because the kingdom of heaven is a reality to be experienced. It's more than a teaching. It's more than things. So Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure, and a treasure that brings joy, and it's like a pearl of infinite price. That's what it's like. It's like a seed that is planted and it grows. It's like a mustard seed that is extremely tiny. You cannot even barely see it. It's like the yeast that it's invisible almost to the human eye, but it can transform everything. It's like the weed as it grows, it feeds and it gives. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And these images begin to bring out an experience, a reality that is supposed to be experienced by each and every one of us. And there's a tension because sometimes the reality of what we live and how the world is and what it should be, it doesn't line up. Jesus, you said that it would be this way, but it really doesn't add up. Because there's a tension between how the world is and how we would want it to be. There is a tension between how the world is and how we know that it should be. There is a tension between how the world is and our experience each day. And Jesus says, that's why the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. That's why the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's why the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Sometimes we miss it because it's so small, like the yeast, like the mustard seed. Sometimes you miss the kingdom of heaven because we want to see something big, and actually the kingdom of heaven is extremely small. It's like that smile in the morning of your 2-year-old daughter on her birthday. It's like the fact that your internet history will not embarrass you for the last 2 days. It's like the fact that today you learned to forgive. It's like the fact that today you actually did something with no interest whatsoever, something selfless and caring for somebody else. It's the fact that today you learned to forgive. It's the fact that today your heart hurts a little less. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven, it's really, really small. And unless you're willing to see it, you'll miss it. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven is big. It's like a field and there's treasure and you cannot see it because it's so big that you miss it. If I ask you right now, what is the color of the roof of this church? Would you know? How come? Why can't you tell me you're here at the church? How come? Because sometimes the kingdom is so big, and sometimes we are so small, and you're stuck in the little corner that you cannot see the big picture. But if you were to go back a bit, and you were to stand there on the street, you would see that the roof of the church is gray. It was pretty easy. You would have guessed, and you would have probably gotten it right. But sometimes the kingdom of heaven is big. Sometimes you only see it when you say, wow, 10 years ago, my marriage was a disaster. Today, it's only a bit messy. So we made huge progress. And sometimes it is only when you pull back, when you learn to see the big picture. Man, 10 years ago, my life was like this. And look at what God has done. Look at what this church is like. Look at what this neighborhood was. Look at all the good things that are happening. And sometimes the kingdom of heaven is so big that we miss it. Because we're looking too small. So sometimes Jesus uses parables and these images because sometimes to see the kingdom of heaven, we have to push in. And we have to look very close because sometimes it's very small and we might miss it. But sometimes we have to pull back because sometimes it's so big that we might miss it. But there's a third dimension, one that is even more important. And I think it's the primary reason why so many of us perhaps miss on the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Because 3 years had passed between Jesus had begun to talk about this kingdom that was coming. And there were people who were getting a little bit fed up. Jesus, it's been 3 years since you've been talking about this thing that you're doing in this kingdom, and you've been telling us all these cute little stories, and you've been telling us it's like this, it's like that. But the truth is that everything is actually absolutely the same. And Jesus, we're getting a little tired of your cute little stories. We're getting tired of your nice little props that you bring to church and you tell us about the mustard seed. Jesus, when is this kingdom coming? Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, the kingdom of God would come, he answered to them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observations, nor will they say, see here, see here, see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Over the past month, we've been going around and around this idea. But the main reason why we oftentimes miss the kingdom of heaven is that we're looking at it the wrong way. These Pharisees came to Jesus saying, Jesus, show us the signs, show us the evidence, show us the manifestations of this kingdom. And Jesus said, you guys, you're looking at the kingdom the wrong way, because this kingdom is not here or there. This kingdom is within you. And that is something difficult to understand. And maybe you have a Bible in front of you and your Bible says it a little different. Maybe your Bible says the kingdom of heaven is among you. And maybe another translation will say the kingdom of God is within your grasp. And all these people have tried to discuss, because this is a difficult idea to understand. What is Jesus talking about? And people say, no, he's talking about Jesus himself because he's among the people, but then he'll be gone. And then he said, no, no, no. He's talking about the fact that you can obtain something if you reach out, so it's within your grasp. And then others say, no, 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 no. The kingdom of God is these things that lives in you, in your heart. And the answer, I think, is yes. The answer, I think, is yes. The kingdom of heaven, it's all those things. Because Jesus said, you're looking for the wrong thing. Because the kingdom of heaven is within you, within your reach, among you. During the Second World War, there was a general who was stationed in the Pacific Islands. And in one of the Pacific Islands, for some time, he had to share with a platoon from New Zealand. And this is a part story that I'm just taking a lot of creative liberty with it, but like 1% of it is actually true. And as they were sharing their time together, they went into their quarters to have lunch. And the troops from New Zealand had just left the cafeteria. And in one of the tables where the general sat, one of them had left a kiwi. A kiwi. You see a kiwi? You like kiwis, Chloe? Yes. And this general had never before in his life seen the kiwi. And he looked at it, and he was intrigued, and he began to wonder, what is the kiwi? So next to him were some guys from the Army Corps of Engineers. So the general said, hey, can you tell me what this is all about? And he said, yes, sir, yes, sir. So he went and he grabbed his, and he said, well, it's an irregular oval object about 2 1/4 inches tall, because I don't have all the terminology, and about 1 3/4 inches in diameter. It has a coarse texture. It has interesting markings in both of their polar regions. And it's kind of hard. And the general said, well, yeah, that's all good, but what is it? So then we went to the next person who was sitting next to it. He was one of the communication guys. And he said, well, we can measure that it has no electricity flowing whatsoever, and it has a resistance of 0 ohms. It doesn't seem to be radioactive. It doesn't emit anyway. So we don't think this is a communication device. Okay, very good. But what is it? So next to him were some of the medics and a doctor who was serving there. So he gave him the key. He said, can you please tell me what this is? So the medic went and he put on his stethoscope. Okay. And he said, well, I think this is the right side. You can tell I would have made a great doctor. It doesn't have a heartbeat. The lungs seem to be clear, but I'm not entirely sure of what it is. So he said, okay. But the doctor said, can you tell me anything else? So the doctor said, fine. I really don't want to, but we'll do some exploratory surgery. So he cut it open. And he looked at it inside. And he says, well, that's surprising. Outside is coarse and hairy, but inside is green and gooey. And it has all these formations. And it has what seems to be vessels running through it. It's probably rich in vitamin C and vitamin K and vitamin B12. I don't know if he knew that, but we're taking liberty with the story. So what is it? So the general kept looking at the kiwi, not knowing what it was. But then he noticed that just on the other side of the table, there was a little boy, a little Chinese boy who, because of the war, had been displaced from his house, and he had been traveling with the troops in seek of shelter and safety. His family had been displaced, and he was hungry, and he was sad. And he looked at the kiwi, and in his face, there was a smile. So the general called him and said, boy, can you please come? What are you smiling about? And the boy pointed at the kiwi. And the general said, do you know anything about this object? And the boy said, kiwi, which is probably yes in Chinese. I don't know. And the boy tried to reach for it. And he was scared. He didn't know what to do. But he grabbed it, and he looked at the general, and he removed some of the skin, and he looked at the general, and then he ate it and smiled and said, it is sweet but tangy, it is crispy. It is delicious. And then he grabbed the other half and he gave it to the general. And he said, do you want to try it? And the general had a bite and another and another. And then he went and he raided the New Zealand quarters and confiscated all the kiwis that they had. And he had kiwi after kiwi after kiwi. And he called the fruit the kiwi. And when the war was over, he took hundreds of boxes and stacks of kiwis back to San Diego. And then he started sharing it to his friends. And his friends liked the kiwi too. And his friends gave it to their friends. And then kiwis begin to be cultivated in California until every Walmart and every Farm Fresh and every Walgreens and every Albertans had a kiwi in their shelves. Because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Perhaps the main reason why we miss the kingdom of heaven is that we're looking for it with the wrong instruments. Maybe throughout our entire lives, we've been taught the kingdom of heaven is about doing this and doing that. And if you acquire this and you acquire that, the kingdom of heaven cannot be experienced with intellect alone. The kingdom of heaven cannot be experienced with behavior alone. There's only one faculty that can unlock the kingdom of heaven. And that faculty, it's the human heart. And if you don't open up that heart, the kingdom of heaven can be among you, within your reach. But if it's not within you, this kingdom of heaven might pass right before you, and you might not see it. Because the kingdom of heaven, just like a kiwi cannot be tasted with your ear, cannot be tasted without the human heart. Because the best faculty to experience the kingdom of heaven is the heart. And in this tension, we often miss the kingdom of heaven because we have not experienced it in the heart. And for many Christians, especially Adventists, I think, this is particularly difficult. Because all our lives, we have been taught to look out for the signs. We even have magazines called The Signs of the Times, and we're looking for signs here and looking for signs there and looking for signs here. And we've been taught that the truth, and this is extremely important. I would never put that down, but we taught that if we have this right understandings, which is extremely important, I would never put it down. But if you did all those things, you will experience the kingdom of God. And the truth is, unless it's in the heart, it might pass you by, and you will never see it. It is interesting that the passage that we read earlier on from Matthew said that the prophecies would be fulfilled. It's actually a quote from Psalm 78. And Psalm 78 goes like a little bit like this. Speak to them in parables so that they would put their trust in God. They would not forget his deeds, but would do his commands, but forget what I have done and the wonders I did before them. And then Asaph, who writes this song, goes on to say, he guided them through the seas, and he parted the seas, and he created walls with the water. He said, in the night, he guided them with a pillar of fire, and in the night he covered them with a cloud. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers, but they did not believe and they did not trust. Yet he gave them a command in the skies, and he opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna from the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heavens, and humans, beings, ate the bread of angels. He set them all the food that they could eat. This morning, as I came in, David showed me a scene from the film Moses. And there you see Jesus in the middle, God in the middle of the tension when they were hungry and their bellies were growling. They didn't have food and they complained. And God now sends them the very food of angels so that they could have all they wanted. And the people said, well, we want meat. And Jesus said, you want meat? Here, have some meat. And he made the wind blow from the east and the west. And meat rained down until meat could fall down their nostrils. So he gave them meat, but they would not believe and trust. So he turned them over to their own swords, to what they chose to believe. And then it talks about the struggles that they went to, but at the very end, 70 verses later, he says, but he chose David, his servant, and he took him from the sheep pens, from the tending of sheep. He brought him to shepherd the people of Jacob, the inheritance of Israel. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands to them. Because sometimes the signs are not enough unless the heart is there. And today, maybe many of us live in detention because we have not opened our hearts to the reality of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. But in the tension, Jesus always extends an invitation. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the doors, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will eat with me. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. NLT said, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. The kingdom of heaven can only be experienced with the faculty of the human heart. And in the midst of all the tension that we experience, it is only when we open our hearts to this reality that Jesus wants us to experience in our lives, can we be open to experiencing the kingdom of heaven. Many of you have been taught that the kingdom of heaven is about doing this or doing that or believing this or believing that. Jesus says, no, unless you allow me to come into your heart, unless you allow me to do something in there, you will never experience the true joy that comes from trusting and knowing me as your friend. Because this passage holds an invitation to this day, to those who are anxious about the future, God's sovereign rule, to the world, his healing love, not only to, is yours for the grasping, is not only here as something you discover, but it's also waiting for the help, because the kingdom of God is more than a private experience, more than simply something to be hidden and waiting for to be discovered. It's an invitation to a movement, simply waiting for you to get on board. Because the really good things in this world, the truly good things in this world, they give themselves to you. You give yourselves to them. They change you. You change them. And this world becomes a better place. And Jesus gave everything to you, for you. So if you simply open up your heart and you let him in, this kingdom will be a reality in you. And it will be like a treasure, and it'll be like a pearl of great price, and it'll be like this beautiful things, and it will begin to grow, and it will begin to change, and it will change you, and it'll change everyone around you, because that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And once you taste it, you cannot untaste it. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. What would our lives look like if our hearts were open to that kingdom? What would our evangelism look like if it was open to that kingdom? Maybe it'll be like that team that we root for and we want everybody to know how great the Cowboys are. Or maybe it's like those oils that we buy and they're so good that we share to our friends. Or maybe it's like those cloths that we discover that they're so good that we want to invite people to our house to see it and to experience it, because that's how good the kingdom of heaven is like. And even much better than that. So may you today experience the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, which cannot be observed with great ideas. It cannot be observed with fancy instruments. It cannot be observed with the right behavior. It can only be experienced with an open heart, waiting to receive the kingdom. So how's your heart today? Is your heart open to the kingdom of heaven?
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. My own. righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh,
in a school far away, there used to be a teacher who was a mean teacher, a bad teacher. And it didn't matter if his students tried or not, he used to always give them bad grades. And sometimes they did their homework and they got a D, and sometimes they didn't do their homework and they got a D. And sometimes they tried and failed so that he would make fun of them. And the kids began to get frustrated, so they started copying off of each other because there was no way to get it right, and it was horrible. Some of them just decided to stop trying and didn't go to school anymore and dropped out. But one day, the teacher retired, and a new teacher came. And there were like three kids in the class, and they were copying off of each other, and they weren't trying, but the teacher came.